Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We only accept the bad words. I died 100 times. You go back to her and I go back to her. I go back to
The unmistakable voice of Amy Winehouse, and a new biopic about her is out in the coming weeks. And to tell us about that and all the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead, I'm joined in the studio by freelance arts journalist Aoife Barry and producer and director Brian Redden. Good morning.
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 My favourite part of the month.
Yeah, I'm very glad to hear that.
So we'll start with that one, Back to Black, because there have been several documentaries about Amy Winehouse, about her life and her legacy. This is something different though, is it, Aoife?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's a biopic, so it's about her life. We follow her from being, you know, a young wannabe singer, a clearly super talented teenager. If anybody's seen videos of her online singing, she was really young, really obvious she was going to be amazing from the get-go, and follow through her career, how she became globally famous, and then her ill-fated romance with Blake Fielder Civil, which was all over the tabloids at the time. I mean, you couldn't open a newspaper without seeing coverage of Amy Winehouse's life. It has Marissa Abella, who people might recognise from the show Industry, playing Amy Winehouse. It's directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. She's an interesting one because she started off, you know, as an artist. I think she was nominated for the Turner Prize. She made a lot of artistic films and artwork and then moved into making movies, and she directed the 50 Shades of Grey film, which she then left the franchise because she didn't get on with the writer of the book. And some of her work is better than others. If you go on to maybe, you know, a site like Rotten Tomatoes and look at the reviews, they aren't always necessarily very kind to her. But I think she'll be really interesting to tell, you know, a woman's story, a young woman's story about struggling with the tabloids, which
she
has done too. She's also married to Aaron Taylor Johnson, and they're also a couple who were also all over the tabloids too. So it's got really interesting casting too, with Eddie Marsan playing Amy Winehouse's dad. And I think it's just, I think a lot of people will be really looking forward to seeing a bit of a dramatisation around what happened. And crucially, they can use all the music as well too. So this isn't one of those
because
biopics with no music.
The support of the family, and they've got the
family.
Rights. And that's a cinema release.
It's a cinema release on the 12th of April. And it's written by the guy who wrote the brilliant film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool, which came out in 2017, which really has me really hoping it's going to be great, because that's one of the best films I've seen in a good while. It's gorgeous.
Another one now that we're looking forward to, Brian, your first choice, centering around the 2019 interview that Prince Andrew gave to Emily Maitlis on the BBC on Newsnight. We'll remind ourselves of that before we have a chat about it.
July of this year, Epstein was arrested on charges of sex trafficking and abusing dozens of underage girls. Mm-hmm. One of Epstein's accusers, Virginia Roberts, has made allegations against you. She was very specific about that night. Mm-hmm. She described dancing with you and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have
There's a slight problem with the sweating, because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat, or I didn't sweat at the time, and that was I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War when I was shot.
Oh God, I can barely listen to it.
It's strange, isn't it?
Oh. Now, he was fired from public duties by the royal family.
Yeah.
Emily Maitlis won the interview of the year, scoop of the year at the Television Journalism Awards. And this is Scoop, which is a Netflix drama based on the interview.
Based on the interview. And actually, I had to ask you there, as you were playing that clip, was that the real interview or was that the drama? Because the drama is very, very good. It's very like it. Mm-hmm. And the actors playing the parts look very like the real characters and actually sound exactly like them. And they recreate that interview word for word. So it's I thought that was a clip from the film. So basically, that legendary interview took place for Newsnight back in November 2019, where Prince Andrew Actually, his PR people approached Newsnight offering him for an interview. They were offering him to talk about a lot of his charitable causes and stuff like that. And the Newsnight producer said, no, we don't want to talk about that. The whole Jeffrey Epstein thing was starting to break. He needs to address this. No, he won't talk about that. He'll do an interview on the condition that you don't ask him any questions about that. And they kept pushing and pushing the Newsnight producer until eventually Andrew agreed to answer some questions based on that. So along he comes and he gives this interview, which bizarrely enough, Andrew felt went very, very well. And that's like in the drama, he walks away from it thinking he's actually done a very good job.
Yeah.
But as you can hear him there, he talks about how he couldn't sweat. You know, he was having dinner at Pizza Express with his kids, all these nonsense things that he kept coming up with. And the result of that interview was a car crash. Like, the result of it was, obviously, he's removed from public life. He's shunted to the back of the royal family. You know, there's court cases against him. He's paying people off. Lots and lots of fallout from that. The producer of Newsnight wrote a book based on the coup, getting that interview.
This
the
is
scoop.
Sam McAllister. We interviewed her here on the programme when the book came out, and she was hinting at the time that there was some interest in the book
for making a film.
Here we go.
And the book she wrote is called Scoop, but it's not just about the Andrew interview. It's about a number of interviews that they got for the BBC, but that was one of the biggest ones, obviously. So you've talked to her, and as she mentioned in her interview, that's exactly what happened. Netflix came along, bought up the rights to it, and have made this drama, which starts on Netflix on April the 5th. Gillian Anderson plays Maitlis in it. She looks exactly like, and Rufus Sewell, heavily made up to look like Prince Andrew, but actually does a great job and sounds exactly like him. So this is about the background to getting the interview itself, the fallout of the interview. But interesting, it goes behind like two stalwarts of the British Empire, the BBC and the Palace. So you get to see the workings of both those organisations, as it were.
Is it good?
Yeah, look, I've seen it. It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
Great.
Yeah,
and Billy Piper's really in it as well, isn't she?
Billy Piper, then she plays the kind of producer who gets the interview, who manages to convince him to do the interview in the first place. And as I say, Anderson, who at this point may as well be British. She's played so many British roles. Her American accent's completely gone.
Maggie Thatcher.
She just sounds like she's born for the role. She's really, really good in it. But when you're looking at it, you're going, what? How? What? How? Why? And how did he think it went well? Like, after the interview, he was so happy with it. He thought he'd really come across really well.
During the interview, did one of his advisors not step in and say, stop,
cut it.
You know?
So it's really crash TV. And there was, as you say, we all know the results of what happened. But this is the drama about how it all came about.
Okay, so that's two for the list. Scoop on Netflix and Back to Black, which is in the cinema. And Aoife, your next pick centres around this moment.
They both hold up their hands aloft. Who's got that? We shall see.
The winner and the new.
Collins has won it. Steve Collins carries out his pledge and inflicts the first defeat ever on Chris Eubank.
That sounds great. So Cork 1995, Steve Collins beating Chris Eubank, and this is One Night in Mill Street, a documentary.
Yeah, Irish documentary. It looks really, really great. I think, like, as someone who's not into boxing at all, it still, to me, looks really appealing because you have, crucially, two really interesting characters. I remember it taking place at the time, and I think I was about 12, so I don't remember too much. But, you know, Steve Collins and Chris Eubank being these big characters, particularly Chris Eubank was so huge in the UK at the time. He was really kind of debonair, wearing suits and all that sort of stuff. So you have these two boxers who were sports people, but they also understood the value of entertaining people, and being brought down to Mill Street to the Green Glens Arena, which 2 years previously had been host to the Eurovision, down to Mill Street, tiny town in Cork, I know it well. And so you had a lot of spectacle in a very kind of unusual circumstance. And this looks at everything that went on chronologically, so it builds up to the end of it being the actual fight. And you also look at the really unusual aspects to it, like how the guru, Tony Quinn, was involved with Steve Collins, and they were saying that he'd been hypnotised to the point where he couldn't even feel pain, and whether or not that actually threw Chris Eubank off. Chris Eubank, meanwhile, turning up at events with the Shalila in one hand, you know, wearing a kind of a gentleman's suit as well too. So this is one that really plays into those characters. And you also have Paul Howard, the writer as well, who was a sports journalist, and he, it's always really entertaining talking about things, and he's talking about what it was like reporting at the time on it. So yeah, it's called One Night in Mill Street. It's in the cinemas from the 5th of April, and I think a lot of people will maybe learn a lot about that period of time, about Ireland as well too, if they weren't around then.
Sounds really good, really interesting, looking back at Ireland in 1995. Really, you know, if you're not interested in boxing, you'll get a snapshot of the country at that time.
Completely, really kind of Ireland kind of coming on the up, and smaller towns, you know, getting their moment in the sun as well too, and trying to capitalise on that as well.
Pierce Brosnan Brian up next, past Charlie.
Pierce Brosnan's at an interesting point in his career now. He's 70 years of age and he's kind of got into the kind of, rather than kind of resting on his laurels, he's now become this kind of action hero. You know, it's so like what happened with Liam Neeson when Liam Neeson started doing the Taken franchise. So he's making a lot of these kind of really straight to kind of what used to be straight to video, now it's straight to streamer action movies. And this one, though, I think is one of the better ones. It's called Fast Charlie and it's on Amazon at the moment. What's interesting about it is that it's directed by Philip Noyce, who was a brilliant director, but back in the 90s made films like Clear and Present Danger and films like that. And it has a kind of a 90s throwback feel to it. It's a really kind of a classic revenge story. So basically, Brosnan, who's really good in it, despite a really dodgy accent. Brosnan can't do accents. He can't even do an Irish accent. From that. Did you ever hear him speak in an Irish accent?
Listen, he was on with Ray recently.
What is that accent like? It's the most bizarre thing.
It sound like he was in Irish Wish.
He's a bit of a Wish and Begara.
I'm not. I mean, Irish accent.
He's a bit of that. Like, he sounds like he's like Barry Fitzgerald in The Quiet Man sometimes.
Probably gets you far in Hollywood.
I'd go with you, Ray.
Like that.
You know, I heard him on the radio. Yeah. Anyway, he has this bizarre accent.
I still
accent.
Won't have a bad word said against the man.
Allegedly.
He's a lovely man. I've met him a couple of times. He's very nice. So in this film, he doesn't do an Irish accent, thankfully, but he does a Southern accent from Florida, which isn't great. So let's get over that. And his performance is actually really, really good. So he plays this hitman for the mob called Charlie. And the mob boss who he's working for is played by James Caan. This is James Caan's last screen role. And he doesn't look great, unfortunately. He's in a wheelchair and he's kind of... You can tell he's not long for this world, but he's really, really good in it. It's a really good performance. And what's interesting about it is there's an interesting relationship between the hitman for the mob, played by Brosnan, and James Caan. They kind of they get on together. Caan's in a wheelchair, and Brosnan kind of makes him dinners at night and looks after him and watches TV with him. And so there's kind of a very close bond between them. But at the same time, he sends him out to hit and kill people. So anyway, a rival mob come in and they wipe out the mob family, that the head of which is James Caan, and then Pierce Brosnan goes on a revenge trail to try and get all the guys and kill all the guys who killed his people. So essentially it's like Death Wish, you know, it's like any other movie like that, any Bruce Willis movie from the 80s or 90s, a guy on a revenge trail and bumps off everybody. But he does his action really well. It's a really good performance, nice relationship between him and James Caan, and it's a real switch your brain off kind of movie, you know.
Listen,
and Brosnan looks great in it.
We need those,
Brosnan, he looks great, and it's a great performance. Get over the accent and it's a really good performance.
Fast Charlie on Amazon. Now, when you come into studio, Aoife, you said that I would like Mary and George, but this is very risque. So I don't know what you're saying about me.
You said you want a bit of entertainment, right? This is not one to watch with the kids, okay? This is not one to watch with the kids. This is a firmly an adult series on Sky Atlantic. But it's just so great because it's a period drama that, you know, tells the story of Mary Villiers and her son George. I didn't know anything about them. They would be well known in England. Shows what I know about, you know, 17th century British history, and not that much. But Mary Villiers wanted to be a member of the aristocracy. Her husband, her dastardly husband, dies, and she's left there thinking, how am I going to make some money? You know, she, a woman in that era, didn't have many options. So she you know, realises, I've got a very handsome son, and King James, who I kind of have some connections with, is very, you know, fond of young, handsome men. And she decides to get him to seduce them, the king, who has...
As you would.
As you would, obviously, wouldn't we all? And because the king had these favourites, these young men who'd hang around him, we'll say, in the royal court. And in this, you follow how they kind of, they team up, Mary and George team up to get him into the royal court, which would buy them power, you know, move them up in society. Julianne Moore plays the mother. She's so good in this because she's pretty evil, basically. George is played by Nicholas Galitzine, who was in the Irish film Handsome Devil. He plays a very handsome, also dastardly, you know, son of hers. And you have a great Irish cast too. You have Niamh Alger, who plays a prostitute who teams up with Julianne Moore's character, Mary. And you also have Mark O'Halloran, who is so Mark O'Halloran as Francis Bacon, who's one of the most deliciously terrible characters in it. He's brilliant in that role. It is really risque. It's definitely a romp. But at the same time, they tell this really, really dark, you know, kind of psychodrama about British history. And you learn a lot about how things worked around that time, around the Jacobean era. And
so
the costumes are to die for as well.
We have Mark
too.
And we have Niamh in this.
For
those reasons alone, we should be watching Mary and George. That's out now, is it?
Yes, it's on Sky Atlantic. Yes, Sky Atlantic.
Okay,
yeah.
Andrew Scott in Mr. Ripley. There's a lot of buzz around this already.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. I haven't seen it, but it starts on Netflix on the 4th of April. So Ripley, People are probably familiar with The Talented Mr. Ripley, the movie. The original book was written back in the novel was written in 1955, goes back that long. I was quite surprised that it was written back that far, but it was written by Patricia Highsmith. And when it came out, first of all, it was a huge hit. Subsequently, it's been made into a stage play, it's been made into a radio series, it's been made into another TV series, mm-hmm. adapted into several languages, and then the famous film starring Matt Damon and Jude Law. This is an 8-part series based on the original novel. It's a number of novels about Ripley, but this is the original story. The story is very much like the film. It's set in 1960s. It starts off in New York. Andrew Scott plays Tom Ripley. Tom Ripley is this kind of con man, I suppose, for want of a better word. Don't give too much away, but he's given a job by this American industrialist to go to Italy to take his wayward son, a guy called Dickie, played by Johnny Flynn, and bring him back to New York. Mm-hmm. So he goes to Italy to meet this guy and bring him back to New York, but he doesn't want to go back. He's having too much of a good time in 1960s Italy. And Ripley is very jealous of him, very jealous of his life, and slowly kind of starts to become him. So I won't give anything else away, but that's pretty much what it's about.
Yeah, but they must have a very different take on it, given that that movie was so famous, the Matt Damon Jude Law version.
It's the plot sounds exactly the same. The plot is very 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 similar. What they've done in this is they've really gone into the characters a bit more. Obviously it's over 8 1-hours, so they really go into the detail of Ripley and who he was and what his thinking is and why he did what he did and his relationship with this other character. Also interesting what they did was there's a lot of it's shot in black and white, so that's kind of interesting, shot in black and white, and it has a very cool look to it. It was all filmed in Italy, and Italy looks amazing in it. Directed by Steven Zalian, who hasn't directed much. He did The Night Of. Do you remember The Night Of? That kind of prison thriller thing?
No,
he directed
that,
but he's best known as a writer, and he wrote he wrote a lot of famous films. What did he write?
Famous Things. He wrote Famous Things.
Famous movies. He writes a lot on the title with his fingers. Gangs of New York, he wrote.
Ah, okay.
His most famous film is Schindler's List. That's what he wrote.
Right.
So he's a great writer. Hasn't directed much. This is his second series. But it looks, I haven't seen it as I say, but the trailers of it look fantastic.
And Andrew Scott chose to do it. So that's enough for me. I trust him and his choices.
Such a moment for him. You feel like finally he's done so much work. He's been so great. It's so great to see him really get that kind of level of extra fame now.
We've only a tiny bit of time left, but I really want to get the adaptation of John McGahern's final novel in there, That They May Face the Rising Sun, because I'm definitely going to watch this.
It's so beautiful. I think anybody who really loved On Colleen Q, again, another Irish film based on an Irish book, will really love this if they really love that the kind of slow, beautiful unfurling of a story. And it's adapted into film by Pat Collins, an amazing Irish director, stars Barry Ward and Anna Baderka. And what they've done is they've focused it mainly on them as the Rutledges, the couple from the novel. And you meet them and other members of the town during this year in this rural part of Leitrim that unfolds. It's just beautiful.
And
26th of April.
Cinema release.
Cinema on the 26th of April.
Towards the end of the month. Thank you so much, Aoife and Brian. Great to have you back with us.